Thank you for that wonderful singing. What a way to start the morning, right? In fellowship and in God's Word, just ready, full of the Holy Spirit to please the Lord. Last night, we kicked off the weekend with a Spirit-empowered life. We looked at Romans chapter 8, and in Romans chapter 8, you can clearly see it's a chapter about the Holy Spirit. You see flesh, the word flesh, about 13 times, depending on the version that you're reading. And then you see the Spirit 15 times, depending on the version that you're reading. You can see that it wants to make clear, the Word of God is communicating and making clear, that a Spirit-filled life is not simple. According to Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, it requires divine power. There is a war within each and every one of us. And the main objective is to mortify, we saw that in Romans chapter 8, to mortify the deeds of the flesh that can only be done in the Spirit. We'd also said that pleasing God was an incredible, miraculous privilege that we have, that we, as human beings, can literally please, bring joy to the heart of the one who created the entire universe. What a humbling thought that is a capability that we possess when we have the Spirit of God. Only a born-again believer has the ability to do that. We saw in the Word of God, same thing, Romans chapter 8, that without the Spirit of God, you cannot please God. We saw that and we agreed that being born again is quite literally the most miraculous event that can happen in a human being's life. To be able to understand that now we have the ability to approach, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, we can approach God. As not our judge, not in fear, but the Spirit has given us the opportunity to come before the God, to come before our God, crying, Abba, Papa, Dad, Father. You know, to a Jew back then, that would have been a pretty blasphemous statement, almost irreverent, to say Abba to God, to call him Papa as if, you know, you can just walk into his house, but we can't because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. We're in a very unique situation, and we need to remember that we can capitalize on that unique situation. We can be conformed to the image of his Son by the power of the Holy Spirit, and this weekend we're going to look that that is the goal of the Holy Spirit, to make us more like Christ, to bring us into this family resemblance. We will see it was what was in the heart of God in the Old Testament. It continues to be in the heart of God in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, you were told to be godlike. You would never see in the Old Testament to be like Jesus because they haven't met him. But in the New Testament, we saw, if you read the Gospels, if you read the New Testament, you can agree that he, according to Hebrews chapter 1, was an exact representation of his image, a human being, exactly, precisely representing exactly who God is. That's a serious order. But the Bible says that by the power of the Spirit, you can do that. The Bible wouldn't tell you that you're to be conformed to the image of Christ if it were not possible. In the flesh, it's impossible. But in the Spirit, it is not, because the Holy Spirit is God, and nothing is impossible for God. We saw that the miraculous event of redemption, what follows, is a miraculous life. Immediately, right? We are taken off the blinders. The enemy, we saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, blinds the minds of those that are lost. We're no longer lost. We are in Christ. We are now, instead of children that were sometime darkness, not in darkness like I said last night, it's actually darkness. Can you imagine? You were part of the puzzle that was dead black. You were just darkness before Christ, and now you are light in the Lord. Immediately that happens after salvation. From being self-dependent, this has got to be one of the biggest struggles that many of the believers, myself included, and believers that I talk to, struggle with. Being self-dependent versus Holy Spirit dependent. It is a discipline that you need to continue to do. You need to call upon the Holy Spirit to help you to be like Jesus, to talk like Him, to walk like Him, to love like Him, to forgive like Him. I mean, if walking and talking comes easy to you, maybe forgiving doesn't, not so much, right? To forgive each other as God in Christ forgave us. What a tall order sometimes, depending on the offense, right? It's not, doesn't come easy to some. But it is possible if you are born again and you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit to do that, which is impossible for you, but possible for God. If we are living a Spirit empowered life. You ask, He will help every single time. We talked about the other miraculous event that happens right after redemption. We started talking about regeneration. Regeneration, unlike redemption, is a process. You have to recreate. That's what God does. To redo. To make something that is literally, quite literally, useless to God, something that will be useful to God. From one place to another, from a useless state to a useful state in the Lord. You weren't able to proclaim Christ in the flesh, but you are able to do it in the Spirit. And there is one means, a very important means in which the Spirit of God does this work, and that is through God's Word. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and remember what we're looking at, the Spirit-empowered life. Read this looking for how the Spirit intervenes in your life and in mine, and how He does it. Starting in verse 9. But, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Now, if we stop at this particular verse, I can deduce from looking at verse 9 that there is no way that I could know what God has coming for me. I don't know what things are before me. I don't know what is expected of me. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, what entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. I don't know what God has prepared for me. But that's verse 9. If we continue, it says, But God has revealed them to us. Who? By His Spirit. Those who have the Holy Spirit do know. Amen. God does tell you. God does give you the power. God does give you the instruction, and He miraculously has provided divine power through the Holy Spirit to get it done. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Stop right there for a second. Not the surface things of God, that God is, right? Physical things of the sun, stars, the moon, the earth, they reveal that there is a God. Whether you deny it or not, it doesn't matter. I mean, it is what it is. It's His signature. It's His handiwork, right? But then there's this, the deep things of God. To know the mind of God, to know the will of God, to know what pleases God. If I want to have a relationship with you, I've got to do what? I'm going to know you. I've got to know you. You know, I mean, you come to my house and I serve you rice and beans and you hate beans and you don't really eat rice. Well, you know, I mean, look, you know, you're a nice person. You probably swallow it, you know, like a like the strong Christian that you are and loving and kind. But it's on my part, you know, I want to ask you, hey, listen, what do you like? What do you like to eat? What kind of things do you like to do? Where do you want to go? Or something like that. I'm asking you because I want to know you. Why do I want to? I want to please you. I want to do what makes you happy. Forget about me. I want to know what makes you happy. That works in a marriage too, you know. Forget about me. I want to know what makes you happy. And if what makes her happy is going shopping, you know, all right, I'll go. It's the good Christian that I am. I'll help you. I get goosebumps just thinking about it, but I go into cold sweats. She laughs at me when I go into a store. I'm like, oh. I mean, I'm the kind of guy going to a store in 10 minutes. I know what I want. I get it, pay for it, I'm out.
Amen.
No, we got to. I got a witness. But she's careful. You know, she goes to the stores and, you know, and finds exactly what she needs at the exact price she's looking for. And she's frugal. And, you know, there's a lot of factors involved to get a particular product. And so that can either make me angry and frustrate me, or I can do it because that's what she enjoys. She enjoys a certain type of music. I want to play it. She enjoys getting together and going over the Word of God. Or perhaps a brother in the Lord, you know, he likes playing pickleball like Christian does, you know. And so maybe I don't like doing it, but I'm going to do it because I want to make him happy. The same principle is with God. We want to do the things that please God. But there is no way. God is a much higher being than you are. His thoughts are way higher than your thoughts. There's no way for me to get into God's mind. He's just unreachable for the human man. He is unreachable for the unredeemed. You can't talk to him. You can't ask him questions. You can't be enlightened by the Word of God without the Holy Spirit of God. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. It makes you familiar with who God is. And what does he like? And what pleases him? And you know, one of the things, if you want to be like Jesus, and if you read the Gospels, Jesus did all things that was commanded to him as his Father. He wanted, as a matter of fact, in John 14, go there. I love this statement that the Lord Jesus made, and I go there because I don't want to chop it up. And in John chapter 14, I believe it's the last verse, in verse 31, that says, "But that the world may know," that was very important to the Lord Jesus, wasn't it? "But that the world may know that I love the Father." Listen, that's what he wanted the world to know. "I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise and let us go thence." So in other words, if we love God, we're going to do what he tells us to do. There is no other avenue to know what God wants us to do apart from the Word of God. That is God's way of revealing himself to us. But even then, you still have to be saved. You have to be indwelt with the Spirit of God because the Spirit of God has to enlighten you regarding these things. Look at the following verses after verse 10. "For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him?" What am I thinking right now? You can't possibly know that unless I tell you. I was thinking about the day my firstborn was born. You couldn't know that unless you had my spirit in you. And this is what the Spirit does. "Even so the things of God knows no man." No man, but the Spirit of God. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are," listen, "freely given to us of God. Which things we also speak, not in words of man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches." This is a ministry of the Holy Spirit to consistently teach us about God, to reveal God's mind to us, so that we may do the things that please him. You have a very unique power among all people that exist in this planet. And that is to please the living God. So we're discussing the Word of God and the paramount and very miraculous part that it has in regeneration. If you want to be a God pleasing Christian. If you want to be more like Jesus Christ, you got to study the Word of God, but you got to be careful too, because there's a trap, right? That it happens. I know when I first got saved, it happened to me. I got heavily into apologetics really early on in my faith. Why? Because I wanted to prove the rest of the world wrong and the Bible to be right. Nothing wrong really about that, except the spirit in which I was doing it. You see, I should have been doing it to win souls. I should have been doing it to lead people to Jesus, to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ, to let them know that after a conversation, whether they agreed with me or not, they knew that they were loved. That's not what I did. I mean, when I got saved, Jehovah's Witnesses used to go in our building all the time. After a while on Saturdays, they never came to our building again. I used to chase them down the block. You know, no, let's get in the Word. And they would send their elders, and you know, it would go nowhere. But I love the fight, and that was the wrong spirit. Instead of loving the person, and loving the person to Jesus Christ, I wasn't doing it. I was doing it in my flesh. I had the life transforming power in my hand of the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I had it. And I used it incorrectly. But you know, you mature and you grow as the Spirit starts working in your heart. You begin to change. And now my motive is different. I want to please God. And I know that I can please God by dispensing the truth about His Son so that people can get saved. And so saved people can grow more like Jesus every day. And that to me is a spirit-filled ministry. I know that I can't do it on my own strength. And at times when I do, I know it. And so would you. You ever did that? You know, you taught something and you knew you were in the flesh, whether you were rushed or you were... God will do a miracle. He can use anything and anyone at any particular time. That's His business. But I have to prepare myself spiritually and acknowledge to the Holy Spirit that I cannot do this without Him. That there's no way that you're going to come out of here this weekend edified if it's not because of Him through the avenue of His Word. There's no way that there's going to be any change in your life unless the Holy Spirit is intimately involved in that change. And that's what He does. How? Revealing God's desire, revealing God's mind to you. That's how He does it. And He does it through the Holy Spirit. So this is the responsibility and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. As we look at this text in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the Holy Spirit's involvement in ministry, in study, in the counsel of God's Word cannot possibly happen without the Holy Spirit. Why? This is serious work. When you're studying the Word of God, not only to teach and preach, I'm talking about studying the Word of God to draw near to God. The goal of the Holy Spirit is for you to look at that. And then He brings it to remembrance when He has to, so that you can do the things that Jesus told you to do, the way that Jesus told you to do it, so at the end of the day, when they see you, they see Jesus. That's what I want. That's what you want. That's what anybody that is filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, people filled with the Holy Spirit and they have all these ministries and they're the apostle so-and-so and the prophet such-and-such and all these things and I can speak in all these angelic languages and the Holy Ghost comes on me and I shake and the Holy Spirit doesn't do any of that stuff anywhere here. If you're telling me that you're full of the Holy Spirit, as I said last night, there's one way I'm going to know that you're full of the Holy Spirit. And that one word is Jesus. I'm going to see Jesus Christ in you. And that's how I know that somebody is spirit-filled. When they're looking, sounding, and doing things just like Jesus Christ. So when you read the Gospels, have a purpose. Listen to how Jesus confronts people. Look at the pattern on how He tells people about the Father. Look at the way that He spends time with His disciples, how it was important for Him to show them how to pray. He prayed in such a way to God that He had such an intimate relationship with God that His disciples looked at Him and said, "Teach us to pray." I want to do it like that. They must have heard prayer every day outside in the synagogues all over the place. But when they saw him pray, they said, well, teach us how to pray. In other words, we don't know how to pray. We thought we did. We don't know how to pray. It's incredible. It's absolutely important. And it cannot happen without the Holy Spirit. To what end? To what end do we consistently look for the help of the Holy Spirit? To what end is his ministry in our lives? Why does he want to be so intimately involved with our life? Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 7 through 17. And in verse 7 it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, speaking of the Lord, of course, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and those which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things at the counsel of his will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom also you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believed, so once you believed, the minute you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, until we're taken out of here because we have been bought by him, right? Unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And listen to verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, listen, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, and it's also the spirit of knowledge of him. There was a place where we saw this in the Old Testament. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of his glory in the inheritance of the saints. To this end, the Holy Spirit keeps working in your life. The spirit of wisdom, to make you wise in the things of God. The spirit of revelation, we saw that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, to reveal the things that God has revealed unto us, freely have given unto us. The revelation and the knowledge of him. The knowledge of God. And we know this is the Holy Spirit, because if you go to Isaiah chapter 11, that's exactly who the Holy Spirit is. And in Isaiah chapter 11, starting in verse 1, it says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch that shall grow out of his roots. Listen. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, and the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. The Spirit of God points you to God. It points you, it tells you everything you need to know about him. And there is a specific reason we discussed last night why this is so true. To make you holy. What does holy mean? That you wear all these religious garbs and then you only talk to holy people, and to make you distinct, to make you different, to set you apart for his use. That's what we're talking about, right? To make you were useless for the kingdom before salvation. There was no way that you can add anything to the kingdom of God. But now that you are born again, you can be useful to him, and you have to be equipped to do so. You have to be empowered, and then you have to be given the understanding and the knowledge and the enlightenment of God so that you can be just like God. Now, many of you can probably relate to this. You know, you have certain mannerisms, right? And all of a sudden you hang out with a person, and over a period of time, you might find yourself laughing like them. Or maybe talking like them, right? Or maybe even walking like them. And you start developing these mannerisms, which is why the Word of God makes it very clear. Evil company corrupts good character. There's a negative part of that, right? So you probably want to hang out with as much godly people as you can without ignoring the lost and giving them the gospel. But the point is that you can develop mannerisms depending on how much time you spend doing something. Lisa and I were talking, and there was a preacher that was answering a question to somebody, and that somebody asked, you know, why do I keep falling for the wrong people, falling for the wrong guy, or falling for the wrong girl? And the guy gave an answer that I probably wouldn't have given, but it made a whole lot of sense. He said, let me ask you a question. What kind of music you like? And, well, she told him the music that she liked. What kind of movies you watch? I mean, what's your favorite movie? She gave him his favorite, gave him her favorite movie. You know, you're listening to things and you're watching things that are training you on what you want. It's speaking to you. The music is speaking to your heart and it's trying to teach you what love really is when it's not. And the movie is trying to tell you what a romantic encounter is when it's not. And you're choosing the wrong people. Why? Because you're choosing the wrong people because you're being trained by the wrong people. You're not being trained by the Holy Ghost. You're being trained by the cinema world. And you gotta, right, be very careful. I'm not telling you not to watch movies or listen to music, but you gotta make your choices wisely because it gets into your heart, it gets into your mind, and you start making choices because you're not really being trained in the knowledge of Him. You're being trained in the knowledge of the world. And you can't please God that way. Can't please God that way. It was really good counsel. I really learned from it, and I hope that you will too. The whole point of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 17, I wanted you to see that the Holy Spirit's mission and its entire ministry is to give you the knowledge of Him. Why? So that the more time you spend with Him, the more you become like Him. The more conferences you go to, the more preaching you listen to, the more fellowship that you get, the more studying of the Word of God, the more you pray on your knees to the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you will become like Him. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, we saw it last night, that living in the Spirit is not death like flesh, it's life and peace. Life and peace. You know, when I'm doing the things of the Lord and I'm doing the right thing, And I'm serving the Lord and I'm slaving for Christ just like I want to. I want to please Him in everything that I do. And something goes really wrong in my life. You know, I say, well, God knew all about it. He knew it was going to happen before it happened. It could be really bad. It could be, you know, not desirable. Loss of a job, loss of a family member. I mean, you know, dramatic things that affect your entire life. But I'm serving the Lord. I'm spending time in His Word. I'm praying to Him. And He's going to show me. I know that everything that He does and allows in my life has a specific purpose so that I can be more like His Son. And I want to pray to that end. But if you're not living for the Lord, if you're not living for Christ, if you're not spending time in His Word and you're not praying and things go awry in your life, you start thinking weird things like, why is God punishing me? Or why is things not working my way? I mean, you know, I thought after being a Christian, I would have no problems. You haven't read the Word of God if you think that's the case. As a matter of fact, in this world, the wind will be against your sails. That's how it works. So, you know, when you're living for God, whether great things are happening, praise the Lord. Whether not so great things are happening, you can praise the Lord. Because He's teaching you something. I've learned the most valuable lessons in my born-again days through adversity. I mean, the blessings were kind. God has given me more than I deserve. That is a fact. But I have learned so much more of God's love, His kindness, and long-suffering, and mercy in my life through the most crazy adversities that I thought I would never be able to climb out of. But He took me out, and I know that it was Him. And I gave Him the glory. And I know many of you know what I'm talking about because you've been there. It's not a strange thing to any believer, right? So we praise the Lord for that. Why? Because the same thing happened to Jesus. Did Jesus have a happy-go-lucky life when He was here? Not so much. They hated Him. As a matter of fact, every time you read of Him talking to a Jew, and the Jews went to kill Him. And the Jews wanted to kill Him. And they conspired as how to kill Him. And they just wanted to kill, kill, kill. Every time Jesus was around, they just got angry. Truth does that, you know. Sometimes truth makes people angry. He didn't have a smooth say. He said the Son of Man has no place to rest His head. You know, look, prosperity and health wasn't on His side most of the time. You know, this business of that God makes you healthy and God makes you wealthy, that type of mentality can only exist, it can only germinate in the seed or the soil of discontentment. That's the only time that you can really think that about God. And sometimes, again, God blesses me with a whole lot. Look at this camp. This is God's blessing. But there are some times where adversity, and James makes it very clear, count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into various trials. Why? Because God is doing something. Sometimes you have to wait for it. Sometimes you won't make a lick of sense of it until years later. You're like, oh, man. Or if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, sometimes God puts you through things so that you can comfort others the same way that God has comforted you in that particular situation. And we have seen that in our lives as well. The Holy Spirit, intimately a part of all that, weaving together a likeness of Christ in each and every one of us. All we need to do is ask for it and respond and do the things that He asks us to do, where? In His Word. And to give us the power to do it. So, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of knowledge, everything points to Him. You know, the Bible in the Old Testament and the New Testament is used in the Bible. In the Old Testament, you'll see that God's desire for the Jew was to be God-like. Look, go with me. Go with me to Leviticus chapter 19. I want to show you something. And it says in verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, You shall be holy. Why? For I, the Lord, your God, am holy." God wants you to be like Him. Well, how's that possible? Aha! That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. It's impossible for me to be like God. But with the Holy Spirit, with God's power, we can do it. Go to Leviticus chapter 20, the very next chapter. And let's look at verses 7 and 8. Look at some very good instruction that we see in the Old Testament about becoming like God. It says, "Sanctify yourselves therefore." What does it mean? It means to put a big sign on your forehead saying reserved. Reserved. "Sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy." Why? "For I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes," His word, "and do them." Not just read it, get her done. "I am the Lord which sanctifies you." The Word of God is how He does it. Being holy is what He wants. His Holy Spirit is how He empowers you to do it. If it's important to God, It should be important to you. In the New Testament, he tells you the same thing. This is not something that only the Old Testament tells you. The New Testament, God says, be holy, for I am holy. He tells you that as well. The whole of the Christian life in the New Testament is to be more like Jesus Christ. And only the Holy Spirit will get you there. So all that being said, we got the miracle of redemption. We saw that last night. We have the miracle of regeneration. We saw that a little bit last night, a little bit tonight. And the involvement and the divine intervention and our need for the Holy Spirit is clear in the Word of God. We saw last night that unless you really begin to embrace your salvation as a miraculous event, you're never going to expect miraculous living. It's not life. It's not a humdrum life. It's not life as usual after you get saved. Now you are working for the King. But your biggest ministry is to emulate who the King is to a lost and dying world. And only that can be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. But you have to believe that that is your mission, that that is what the Holy Spirit does, that He wants to do that in your life, and He is able to do that in your life if we are to respond to Him and to intimately get a close relationship with the Holy Spirit so that He can do what He does best, and that is to make you like Christ. That's what we want to do. During the process of sanctification, just as miraculous as being able to please God, who created the entire universe, remember we said that was miraculous, that we can believe we have the power to grieve Him is just as miraculous. Did you know that? You don't only have the power to please God. And you do. You have Holy Spirit power to please the Creator of the universe. What I found humbling and rather uncomfortable, I guess, is the word that I can use, is that I can grieve God. I can grieve the very Spirit that is looking to transform me into the image of Jesus Christ. How? Go to Ephesians chapter 4. How much time I got? Anybody know? 5 minutes. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll close with this. Famous words of a preacher, right? Yeah, we're going to close with this. Yeah, I get that all the time. Let no corrupt communication. You know what? Let's start in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. This is instruction. These are the put off and the put on dynamics that we read in the New Testament. Take off this and put on that. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. This is those who walk as the Gentiles walk. Through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. There we go again with 2 Corinthians chapter 4, right? This is the unbelieving world. Who being past feeling, or in other words, anesthetized, have given themselves over to lasciviousness and to work all cleanliness with greediness. They don't even feel it anymore. This is just the way we do things. But ye have not so learned Christ. Who teaches you about Christ? The Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit didn't teach you how to walk that way, how to talk that way, and how to live that way. Verse 21, if so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off, okay, the put off and put on dynamics, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, the one that was there before salvation, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You have to start thinking differently. Your mind needs to be transformed. And that you put on the new man, the born again person, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying speaking, every man truth, speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and sin not. Let the sun not go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no more. I like these particular truths because they tell you it's not just stopping something. You know, when do you stop being a thief? Most people will answer when you stop stealing. That is not the biblical answer. Look at what it says. Let him who steal no more, but rather let him labor. Not only stop being a thief, but then get a job so that you can give instead of take. Working with his hands the things which is good, that ye may have to give to him that has need. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. Who are they talking about? All these things that we should be doing. Who does that? Jesus does. This is how Jesus lived. He toiled, he labored, he gave until he died. Which is when he gave the most. This is who he was. He didn't steal. There was no corrupt communication coming out of his mouth. When he could have gotten angry at people and really let them have it verbally. You know, he loved them. He taught them. You might say, well, what about the tables? You know, he turned the tables and made whips and all these other things. He had to stop what was happening in the Father's house at any cost. And he did it righteously. He could have done something else and just zapped them out of existence right then and there, but he didn't. And grieve, look at the verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed into the day of redemption. Listen, the Holy Spirit is not going anywhere. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. But what can grieve him? When you're walking as the other Gentiles walked. When you're not taking your cue cards from the Word of God like he taught you. When you have a logjam in your life that's stopping you from growing more and being conformed more to the image of Christ. When that process of transformation, of regeneration stops, when you literally stifle, you quench, you extinguish the work of the Holy Spirit in your life to conform you to the image of Christ. And what does that do? That grieves his heart. Why? Because Jesus is so beautiful. Jesus and the Holy Spirit were inseparable. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. They were absolutely inseparable. He knows how happy you would be if you would just be like Jesus. He knows how many hearts you would reach. He knows how God would be pleased. He knows how God would be glorified if you could just be like his son. And when you stop being like his son, you have the power, that horrible, wretched, I pray you never use power, to grieve the Holy Spirit of the living God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we think of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we're just so grateful, Lord, because you knew we could never do it on our own. Your Son is so beautiful. He is so kind. He is so loving that as humans, we're just sin-stained humans. We're incapable in and of ourselves to show that kind of grace, that kind of mercy, that kind of speech, that kind of desire to be such a giving person till you give your life for others. Only the Holy Spirit can do things like that in us, and you knew it, and so you left him here to teach us how to be more like your son. God, I pray that if there's something in any person's life, including my own here, this morning, that is stopping us from being conformed to the image, to that beautiful image of your son, Jesus, that you would reveal it to us, you would convict us, that we would eradicate it, we would, as we saw in Ephesians, put it off and put on the new man and continue to grow in Christ. Help us, Lord. We need you. We do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit any longer. Help us, Lord God, not to fall in love and not to be enticed with the things of this world. The enemy is tricky, but he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.